Hey guys, welcome back to Bar Curious Podcast. My name is Mike Stojic, and that there is Joey Barber. And we're curious about something that you may or may not even know about or heard, unless you're a, new bar. You're a bartender that works in a cocktail bar.
Or spirits that also enthusiast.
Yeah, or a spirits enthusiast, or, you know, mixology. How do you feel about that? I was going to say, like, you're a mixologist, but you own a great cocktail bar. How do you feel about the word mixologist?
Well, it's funny. So the word mixologist came up as a joke back in the, I'm going to get it wrong, probably 1800s or so. And it was actually a joke. It wasn't a, oh, yeah, you're this, like, mixologist, and I'm a whatever. Because it makes you sound like a scientist or something.
It does.
And we're not. No, we're bartenders. And if you want to call yourself a mixologist, that's fine. But yeah, I don't. I'm a bartender because that's what I feel like we do. We tend to people coming in and talk to them and tend bar. Yeah.
But it's cool. I mean, you want to be a mixologist. Well, I mean, I don't. Some people hate it.
Yeah.
Some bartenders hate it, especially cocktail bartenders.
I'm neutral. I don't really care.
One way or the other, whatever. But yeah. What I've learned, though, from running Revival for the last 3.5 years is when our guests come in and they say, you're a mixologist. And
we used
to say, whatever, we're bartenders. And then they were like, no, you're not. You're a mixologist. There's a difference.
Yeah, we hear that a lot.
And there's like guests who are not in the industry, but they appreciate what we do. And they're like, no.
It's like a craft.
Yeah, they're like, okay, look, like I worked at Ruby Tuesdays and Fridays. The bartenders at Ruby's and Fridays, that's what that high volume, that's bartending. What you do, craft cocktail, that's mixology. And I'm like, I respect that.
Yeah.
If you want to tell me that's what I am, that's cool. But I'm not going to be like, hey, everybody, I'm Mike Stojic. I'm a mixologist. I don't know.
Get your business card that says mixologist on it?
No, it actually says founder.
Nice.
Doesn't really say anything.
Founder?
Yeah, it says founder, Revival 1869.
Did you steal that from the McDonald's?
What?
Movie? You didn't see that? Founder?
I'm like, steal what from McDonald's? What a shitty hamburger? Hey, man, I love their McChicken sandwich. It's a buck. It's like the best thing. I love it. I love the McChicken sandwich. But their hamburgers? Oh, my God. They're like the worst.
Sorry, Mickey D's.
I'm not. Get a better hamburger.
Oh, man. So what are we talking about today, Mike?
Oh, clear. Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, if it's not obvious to you already what this is about.
We're obviously talking about a digestif made in Milan, Italy, called Fernet.
Fernet Branca.
Fernet Branca. And if you're wondering what a digestif is, there's really two categories. And I do believe it was, it's Italian, right? I mean, it's an Italian.
It's
originated
Italian.
In Italy.
Right.
The idea of an aperitif and a digestif.
Yeah.
So an aperitif was kind of like what it sounds, almost like an appetizer. You would eat it before, or you would drink it before your meal. And the idea was by drinking this thing, and it was usually dry, like a vermouth or like a champagne. Yeah. It would stimulate
like
the
Campari appetite. And Aperol as well.
Yeah.
Or aperitifs.
Oh, yeah. Campari, Aperol. So it would stimulate your appetite. Right?
Yeah.
For healthy eating was the idea. And then once you've finished your meal, you would have a digestif, which would aid in, just like it sounds, the
digestion. Help settle your stomach.
Yeah, it would help settle your stomach. And, you know, something like Fernet is one of those things.
Yeah.
And they tend to be a bit more bitter.
Right.
Right? And that's a really amazing way to enjoy a meal. To me.
Drink before, eat, and then drink after?
And then, obviously, you're drinking during.
Well, I mean, obviously.
So you drink this thing prior that's a little drier, and you're like, all right, now I'm ready to eat. And then you eat, and while you're eating, you're drinking. And then after you're done eating, you're like, time for the digestif. And you're like...
They do things different in Italy.
God, it's amazing. But it all has purpose, you know?
Right.
And I think that's pretty cool. So digestifs typically will be made from... a combination of herbs that have a carminative, oh my gosh, words, I struggle sometimes with words, but it's a carminative type of herb. And the idea is that it prevents the formation of gas in your gastrointestinal tract, you know, preventing tooting.
No more tooting. drink Fernet. Drink Fernet to
so you're not farting all over and stinking up. Yeah. Whatever. It prevents. So you think of it almost like what I don't know, Tums.
Yeah, I mean, today. Essentially,
that's kind of like a calcium.
Yeah, that's. Thing. I mean, that's kind of how these digestifs and aperitifs came to be. It's more of a medicinal product. I mean,
it was right.
Yeah, and really, one of the only differences between a digestif and actual bitters, what most people think of, like what they put in their cocktails, is that bitters you just use a couple dashes in a drink, whereas digestifs you can just drink them neat and sip on them. I mean, that's essentially pretty much the only difference in.
Sure.
And the two.
And we're actually about to do that. So even before we get into the episode, Joey brought I have a bottle of a Fernet that you can buy today.
Yeah, I like brought a special bottle of Fernet.
But
that
Joey
Mike
shows
didn't know
up
about.
With a Dusty from what?
1976 Fernet Branca that if you care to come into the Blind Barber, we have sitting on the shelf. if you want to try an older Fernet Branca.
What do you charge for something like that?
Well, you have to come in and find out, Mike. Oh, let's just say we don't look for people to leave unhappy. How about that?
We spare no expense.
We spare no expense.
Especially at the Bar Curious podcast. I didn't even pay for this. I think I traded my fish dip, though.
You did, yeah. You got smoked. You put some capers in there, too. So.
Some capers and some really high-end crackers.
Yeah, so you want to try this first?
Let's do it. So why
we'll try this, and then we'll jump into what Fernet is, because people are probably wondering at this point.
They're like, what are they talking about? What Joey and I are about to do has become affectionately known as the bartender's handshake.
Yes.
It is.
Started in San Francisco.
San Francisco. It did. So this was a way for, I guess, bartenders of the time to identify themselves without identifying themselves. They'd come in and they'd order Fernet. And there was like, oh.
Yeah, okay. Where do you work? Oh. And we still do that to this day.
Still to this day. You're like, so you're one of us. You're in the know because you ordered Fernet.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Well, when people come in our bar and they say, let me get a shot of Fernet, pretty much the first thing I do is I'll pour them one and also, you know, myself probably.
Nice.
but I'll ask them, you know, where are you in the industry? Like, where do you work?
Who sent you?
Exactly.
Where do you work?
Exactly.
And then you watch them so they don't take photos of your menu. So they don't steal your recipes. I'm just kidding. We don't do that. But it is known as the bartender's handshake, and we'll kind of get into that a little bit later. But that's what Joey and I are doing. I have my bottle. He has his, which is arguably way cooler than mine because it was made in 1977. But I think one of the first things we notice, and Joey, you noticed this too after we poured it, was how much darker the old one is.
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, it's black. Like Fernet's already black for the most part, right?
But
I mean,
but this is like motor oil, like you said.
It is. Yeah. It's motor oil. It's thick. It's got this. It looks like it appears like it would have this viscosity to it that the other one doesn't, even though they both.
Yeah, and it's funny too because Fernet also.
Oh wow! It does coat the glass.
Yeah, it does. It does coat a little bit differently. They say that they've used the same recipe since 1845 when they started it as well.
Yeah. So if you're using the same recipe from 1845 then as you are now, and in 1977 and now, you would expect it to be the same. So that led me to ask. Does this continue aging in the bottle, like, say, a chartreuse that continues to... Is aging the right word or maturing?
No,
Or resting, because I know...
Yeah, I guess resting. I mean, it's not...
But it is changing.
It is aging.
It evolves in the glass bottle, even though it's not open.
Right.
Where, like, with bourbon, or any spirit, for most all spirits...
Pretty much all spirits, yeah.
After you take it out of the barrel and you put it into the bottle, that stops the process.
Right. That's what it tasted like. When they distilled it, and that's what it tastes like today. Right. So nothing's changed. But
chartreuse,
like you said,
we know changes.
Chartreuse for sure is one of the few that changes.
One of those.
It may. Let's try this and see.
Yeah, let's go side by side.
We're going to do the new one first?
I think so. That's the one we're familiar with.
Yeah, try the one that we're familiar with first. Yep, that's Fernet.
Yeah, you can't hide that.
You can't hide that.
Bitterness.
Licorice-y, bitter, just.
Man, I've really grown to love it.
Yeah.
I used to not like it so much.
I think Fernet is an acquired taste.
Without doubt. There's a mintiness to it. I love it. I like the fresh. Like, I just...
Well, peppermint is one of the 27 herbs that are in that, Mike, so...
I really got into Menta Branca, which is Fernet's...
That's really
little
cool.
Little sister, I think you would call it.
Yeah, that came out in the 60s or 70s.
And that's minty, man. Oh, man. And I love it, but I've sampled it out to some of our staff, and they're like, man, it tastes like mouthwash.
Yeah.
I mean, it's strong. Anyway, let's get on with the 77. Wow, that's a lot different. I think so.
That is completely different.
On the finish. It started sweeter.
Yeah.
Did it not?
Yeah, it did start sweeter. And it's a little bit it's smoother, too. It doesn't have as much wow. of a like punch to it.
The finish isn't as minty. It almost has, you know, like a really like black coffee.
Yeah, like that bitter
very
yeah.
bitter coffee flavor. To me, that's what I get on the finish of this. We're on the new one from 2020. I had more of a spearmint, peppermint
yeah.
finish. This has got a lot of
there's a lot of, I don't know coffee. About you, but I'm getting a lot of like tingle on the tongue from the older one.
Yeah, I do too.
Of course, it might be the other eight things that we have before this.
Is it safe to drink?
Hey, I didn't say it was safe. I just said here's an old bottle of Fernet.
It's like 40 something years old.
Yeah, well, drink at your
it's
own
older than I am.
Drink at your own risk, Mike. I don't know what to say.
I'm really enjoying it though. It does have it is thicker. The viscosity of it too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You notice that too?
Yeah, for sure.
So we've been drinking this for the last 10 minutes, 11.
Oh, man. We're going to have to start the show at some point.
Hey,
this one whatever. Is just called Mike and Joey talk to each other about drinking Fernet, apparently.
Listen to us sample and explain to you what we're experiencing.
Yeah.
Guys, it's really good. I now wish I had a third glass because I want to blend them. You know what I mean? I do have a third glass.
You do have a third glass.
I got glasses.
This is
a
bar, Mike.
Are you kidding me? We're in revival right now.
That's clean enough.
It came out of a box. Let's see what we do here.
All right, Mike is now doing a half and half of the old Fernet and the new Fernet. That's how is it?
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's like the best of both.
The best of the old and the
and
best of the new.
And I know that sounds stupid because you're like, well, obviously you took half and half. But you don't always get the best and the best when you mix something 50-50.
Right.
You know what I mean? Sometimes you get the worst and the worst. I thought it came out pretty good.
Actually, I'm going to try that too.
Yeah, because the finish isn't as coffee-ish. I mean, the bitter coffee is there, but so is like there's peppermint in it. What is that, like a peppermint?
Oh,
coffee?
No, you're absolutely right. No, it's like peppermint for sure. That's a lot of peppermint came out on that one.
Yeah, it really came through. And that's what I liked about the new Fernet anyway, was more that
it's peppermint, but you still get that smoothness from the old one. Because the old one, to me, doesn't have it's not as harsh.
You're right.
It's more of a smoother finish to it.
It is. And so it's almost like a dark, like a 90% cacao chocolate with peppermint in it.
Yeah, that's actually a good way to describe that. That's a great way to describe that.
Some really, really dark chocolate peppermint.
Yeah.
God, that's delicious. Oh, man. This is great.
That's awesome.
This is great. All right. So let's get on to it. Actually, you know what?
You want to break first and then come back? Why don't we do that?
Hey, guys.
Let's gather our thoughts.
Thanks for listening. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to us test Fernet Branca side by side. But
hey, yeah, when we come back, we're actually going to talk about the distillery, and you're going to like it. We're going to talk about Italy, and then we're going to talk about Argentina, which is pretty
what
awesome.
What does Argentina have to do with this? I wonder.
Well,
we'll get to that when
we get
back.
We'll get to that when we come back from this amazing break. Hey guys, it's your old friend Mike here, and I want to tell you about my bar, Revival 1869. And though we may not be in Raleigh, it is just outside of it in a cute little town called Clayton. We're actually right on the historic Main Street. We focus on craft cocktails. In fact, so much so that we make our own cocktail syrup in-house. We also fresh squeeze all of our juices. I'm also proud to say we have nearly 300 different bottles of whiskey, and that's a lot of fun, especially if you're a whiskey drinker. We also started a YouTube channel. It's called the Revival Social Club. It's more cheeky and fun. We talk history, tell some stories, but most importantly, we teach you how to make your own favorite cocktails at home. So, you know, check that out if you want. You can see everything we have going on at revival1869.com. Check us out on Instagram and Facebook at revival1869. And if you're interested in some of our cocktail syrups, well, check those out at Revival Syrups.
Hey, Mike, you know who I hold in high regard?
Who's that, Joey?
Mechanics and people who know how to work on cars.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Back when I was a combat engineer in the Marine Corps, I had the opportunity to be a platoon commander of the heavy equipment platoon. And I'll tell you, my guys could fix anything.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter how much knowledge you have if you don't have the right parts.
That's right. And that's why when you are working on a car, you need to check out my friends, the LKQ crew. They're the number one in auto collision repair industry for parts both body and mechanical. Check them out at lkqcorp.com for more info and all your auto repair needs. LKQ crew.
That's good.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back. I think we wasted maybe about, I don't know, 15 minutes of your life. We wasted 15 minutes of your life.
I hope you enjoyed listening to us drink Fernet.
Joey and I drank Fernet. I enjoyed it.
I mean, it was great.
It was really good.
Nothing really informative.
Well, we did talk a little bit about what an aperitif and digestif.
Well, that's true. That's true. They got that out of that one. That's true.
Hey, you guys, you learned something, so you're welcome, all right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And
God.
So now let's get into like...
Yeah. Fernet Branca.
What it is. And it... Yeah, so we're drinking specifically is Fernet Branca. Which is not the only Fernet in the world. There are a lot of Fernets. It became its own more or less spirit category.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I mean, I don't know if you would consider it a spirit
category. Well, yeah,
it's
not a spirit category. It's still in the.
But it's its own. It's not its own spirit category. But it's its own.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, look.
I can't think of the word.
Me neither. But you understand what we're saying. There are other types of Fernets. Out there, but this particular one, Fernet Branca, is the one that started it all. It's an Italian type of an Amaro. That's the spirit category. It's an Amaro.
Yeah, right. That's the category.
That's the category. But specifically, it's a bitter aromatic spirit. It's made with just a bunch of different herbs and spices.
27 to be exact.
Wow, 27.
There you go, Mike.
That was a very good year for me when I was 27.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of better times. But yeah, so anyway, 27 different herbs and spices, which vary according to the different brand of Fernet. Well, yeah. Fernet Branca has 27, but other ones, I guess, have different. Like in North Carolina, we have, there's Appalachian.
Yeah, Appalachian. Yeah, they would have different ones
out in Nashville.
Yeah, because I don't think Fernet actually, or Branca doesn't actually. Say all of the 27. They give you a decent amount. Like they have quinine and angelica root and peppermint, but
rhubarb, chamomile,
right? But I mean, there's some that are still secretive.
Some that are different. I know the guys out in Edirine distillery out near Asheville. I don't know if they're in Asheville proper, but they're there.
Close,
North Carolina. Really cool place. Those guys are awesome. I've been out to the distillery, and they make their own Fernet. They make a few interesting things. They're truly people of the wild. I mean, they do a lot of really cool foraging. They grow a lot of their own stuff, the different herbs and spices, and they make a really cool Fernet in North Carolina.
Yeah, it's really, really good too.
It's really good. Yeah, I was extremely impressed with it. Yeah, it comes in a pretty badass looking bottle too, you know.
Yeah.
So anyways, you know, depending on the Fernet you're making, you're using different herbs and spices. And with Fernet Branca, you know, what we said before, they 27. And a lot of it's secret, kind of like Colonel Sanders and his...
his chicken.
Well, this is, so what is it? The secret herbs and spices that make up Colonel Sanders' chicken? Well, Fernet has their... In fact, they claim that there's only one person... who knows the exact recipe.
Yeah, and it gets passed down from father to son, from father to son.
Yeah, which, oh, man.
Yeah, you can't be on the same plane together, I assume. Or
Well, he can't be on any plane ever. He's the one guy, though.
That's,
it hasn't
I
been
guess
passed
that's a
down
good
yet.
Point, yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man. It sounds like a really cool Disney-type thing where you're like, now, son, I'm going to pass this on to you. Like, when does he pass it on? On his deathbed?
No. They actually...
Is there a ceremony for this?
Yeah, there actually is.
No shit?
Yeah, well, it's not really a ceremony. More like a rite of passage. So what happens is once the son gets
when
old
the boy
enough,
turns 60.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's an actual like year.
But, like a bar mitzvah type
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, well, and also I guess that's assuming
or
that
in
the,
Mexico,
that
like
he,
a quinceañera? Yeah. Where they passed on the recipe of Fernet.
Wow, Mike. Just Mike's hating on some Fernet.
No,
today.
I love Fernet.
I'm
guys,
kidding.
No,
I'm kidding.
Oh man, don't say
no,
that.
No, so what happens, and yeah, you kind of jumped ahead on that for me, but
did
so
I? No,
well, yeah, a little bit. So what happens is like, yeah, once the son becomes of age, I don't know how they determine that, but he starts working in the distillery.
What do you mean? Why does that matter? What do you like? What, like manhood? The boy is now a man. You imagine, you know what I imagine? I imagine like some Merlin, like a wizard. And he goes and he tells King Arthur and he's like, your son, your boy is now a man. Pass down.
That's kind nothing. Of what they do. All right. I'll tell the history of it since Mike obviously has no idea about it.
No,
and he's been
really,
sipping on
no.
too much Fernet
look,
Bronco.
Man, I love Fernet. Oh, look, I love Fernet. I think it's fantastic, you know? But the thing, too, is, and I especially love it in a drink called the Hanky Panky.
Yes, you do.
Which is, oh, my God, I drank a lot of those the other night.
Yes.
But it just sounds, all right, look, Joey, tell the story. Tell me how it sounds.
All right.
All right.
Wait,
write it. I'm telling, okay, Joey, tell the story. Listeners, write in later. Tell us how it sounds.
So the Fernet story.
Yeah.
Let's go with Fernet.
When the boy
let's start
becomes
that.
An Anon.
Well, let's, all right, before all that. All right. So Fernet, 1845. Let's go ahead and start this thing from the beginning. Okay. All right. 1845, Fernet was invented in Milan, Italy by Bernardino Branca. Sorry. In 1845. So he claims that a doctor by the name of Dr. Fernet Svedzi, a Swedish medic, came up with this. That's his claim. Yeah, so in early advertisements for Fernet, they said that this Dr. Fernet invented this for his family to live longer, for longevity, for life. They said that the doctor lived to be 104, his mother lived to be 112, and his father 130.
Wow, 130?
Yeah, except come to find out, come to find out, the Swedish family was all made up for marketing purposes. So none of that was true, but they're trying to sell this as a medicinal product. And actually in the 1850s, there was a cholera epidemic, and Branca suggested to his father, Nappi, who worked in a hospital, that he tested the bitter on some patients to see if it would help them. And unbelievably, the results were so positive, the product was recommended to hospitals nationwide. So he came in with some Fernet Branca, gave it to some people that were sick. They felt better, and they're like, you know what? This is a cure.
I wonder if anyone's tested that on COVID.
Man, you know what? At this point, any dart thrown at the board will work.
Whatever you got. Hey, I'll try it.
Yeah.
I mean, we might have come up with the cure right here.
Exactly.
If it cured cholera. But I also saw that it was Bernardino's wife, Maria, who was a master herbalist, who's really the one who helped create the recipe.
She probably was.
Because and also, this was my favorite part. She was a master herbalist. She grew all these things.
Yeah.
And a self-taught doctor.
Oh, nice.
A self-taught doctor. I love that. And that she was the one who really came up with the recipe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Well, especially now knowing that the Swedish family was...
Yeah, fake. A lie.
Regardless, it's an amazing drink.
Yeah.
So invented in 1845, evidently passed down generation to generation. Only one person at a time knows it, which seems kind of ridiculous. Like what
yeah.
I got was it was a very closely guarded trade secret. And eventually right now, Nicola Branca is the only one who knows the proper proportions of each and every one of the 27 different herbs and spices.
Yeah, and I think his son, he has a son named Eduardo that works for the Fernet Branca distillery as well. He's a, I can't remember the term, but he's like the national marketing ambassador for the U.S. Mm-hmm. up in New York. So I think he's kind of next in line, and he probably knows the recipe by now. I'm not sure, but...
Yeah, I don't know. So it just seems...
But yeah, I understand what you mean about the one person.
Yeah, I love... I mean, what a cool story.
I love the story.
But you know what's more remarkable than just the story is how Fernet is spread across the world. Although it's an Italian Amaro and very popular in Italy, it's even more popular in Argentina.
By far.
Like, which was insane. And when you think about it, how did that even happen? Well, when you look back, it was prompted by... Well, it started in 1853 when the Constitution of Argentina changed. And it wrote the 25th article, which prohibited barriers on immigration. So basically, it opened up its borders. And during that time, there was a lot of Spanish and Italian immigrants that wanted to, they'd left. They wanted to leave their countries in hopes of finding something better. So, you know, it wasn't just America that people came to. In 1853 and onward, you know, you had a lot of these like mostly Spanish and Italians going into Argentina,
right?
And then taking up roots there. And obviously, when the Italians came, you know, they bring their culture with them, and part of that culture was drinking Fernet. So once it landed, it became like insanely popular in Argentina.
Yeah,
so much so that the Fratelli Branca distillery, which is based in Milan, Italy, which opened in 1845, opened up a second distillery in Argentina.
Yeah, in 1925.
Yeah, 1925, yeah. Because they were shipping so much. Like, you know what?
They drink enough of it. We'll give them a distillery.
they finally hit that threshold, that magic threshold. You know what, man? Just here's your distillery, make your own.
Yeah, how many millions of cases do you have to buy to open up our own distillery?
I don't know, but I imagine like the amount of money that the Fratelli Branca distillery saved. Because think about that. Instead of
shipping costs?
Yeah, hell yeah, because they're shipping barrels, or I guess at this point, they probably bottle it.
Yeah, they're probably bottling it before they ship it, yeah.
I don't know, not in the 1800s. It's probably barrels.
Okay, yeah, maybe so.
You know, yeah. So regardless, they're shipping like the finished product, in a which is very difficult to do.
Right.
It would be a lot easier to just ship dried herbs.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I'd imagine.
So if they're growing herbs in Italy, you know, it'd be a lot easier to ship herbs over to Argentina than it is to ship barrels.
Yeah.
Of Fernet, right? So it kind of makes sense, you know, especially when they're drinking as much as they do in Argentina. And just to kind of put it in perspective, 75% of all Fernet consumed in the world is by Argentinians.
That's insane. That's insane.
I guess like their unofficial drink of Argentina, I guess official, unofficial, is Fernet con Coca.
Fernet and Coke.
Fernet and Coke. And I had two of those earlier. And
yes, you did.
I really enjoy it.
It was like two Fernets and one Coke is what it looked like.
I had about, well, I mean, if you did the math. I mean, who's counting?
Well, what's funny is also that's true. I guess no one's counting. What's funny too is another one of their drinks that they're really famous for is they take Fernet and they mix it with vermouth, and they drink it after their Sunday lunch. It's like a Sunday lunch ritual. So it like our Bloody Mary brunch. They drink Fernet and vermouth.
Yeah, that's hardcore, man.
That's tough. that's a bitter Sunday.
Wow. Yeah, we could never do that. As Americans, we got to put hamburgers and chicken tenders and like grilled cheese sandwiches and Bloody Marys. There's no way we could handle a Fernet.
Bloody Marys have gotten out of control.
I know it. But you know what I also saw fascinating was because of the love that Argentinians have for Fernet, and specifically with the Fernet and Coke, that Coca-Cola is now... Or Argentina is one of the largest consumers of Coca-Cola.
That's amazing.
As a result of their Fernet. Love for Fernet. Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, Coke is great. We're going to drink Coke over Pepsi. It was because, I guess, well, it does work. Coke is just a good mixer.
Yeah.
But it does. There's a sweetness and a spice to the Coke that, you know, Pepsi doesn't have the spice. It has the sweetness. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it just works. And if you take the bitterness of a Fernet and then like some of that sweet and spice of a Coke, it's nice, man.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
It's good.
We're drinking neat. Yeah. I wonder if Fernet's getting kickbacks from Coke. Because they really should.
Hey, if they're not, they should. We need to contact somebody about that.
Hey, guys, and then we'll get a kickback for alerting them to the kickback.
Oh, there you go.
We get a percentage. Like, look, guys, we only want, what, 3%, 2.5%?
I'll take 3 cents for every Coke can
3
sold.
3 cents every Coke?
That's all I need. 3 cents for every Coke
can. You guys
are
making a lot of sales on Coke because of Fernet. All right, let's take a quick break. And
we're going to break it up?
Yeah, let's take a little breaky break.
Hey everyone, Joey Barber here from Bar Curious Podcast. I want to tell you a little bit about my bar in Raleigh, North Carolina. Not only do we specialize in craft cocktails, but we've also won Best Whiskey Bar in Raleigh 2 years in a row. One of the things that sets us apart from the rest is our expansive collection of vintage spirits. We have everything from bourbon, scotch, gin, Amaros, dating back from Prohibition all the way to the 1990s. If there's a unique pour that you're looking for that no one else has, this is your spot. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Blind Barber, or email us at contact@blindbarber.com. Join our email list to be updated on future tastings and private events. Mike, what are you doing?
Not what?
You're eating all the pizza. Save some for the studio.
Mm-mm. No, man, it's too good.
You're supposed to be driving right now.
Yeah, I can multitask, Joey. I can eat a slice of pizza and drive a car.
Mike, there's a pepperoni in your beard.
I regret nothing.
You guys want to try the best pizza in Raleigh? Head on over to Vic's Italian Restaurant downtown. Visit them at vicsitalianrestaurant.com and make sure you follow their pizza bus at Vic's Pizza Bus on social media.
So good. All right. Welcome.
Welcome
back.
For net lovers.
Fernet about it. That's their motto, except it's not their motto. The real motto, though, if you're interested in knowing, is Novare Serbanda. Novare. Okay, let's just try that one again. Novare Serbanda. Does that sound right?
Oh, sure. What does that mean, Mike? I mean, you have to translate the motto for us.
As I struggle through it, God. Renew but conserve. Adapt with changing markets but preserve the process, values, and ultimately the recipe, which is ultimately passed down
only generation to generation.
Only when the son becomes a man and
one by one.
Merlin appears out of fucking who knows where and it's like, the time is now. And you're like, what? I don't understand. You will become a man and you will learn the recipe of Fernet.
It's a great story.
I mean, it's cool. I like it. Look, I still love Fernet, whatever, regardless of the story. But Novare Serbanda.
I like it.
I'm not Italian.
You don't look it.
What is that supposed to mean?
You said you're not Italian, so I said you don't look like it.
what do they look like?
I don't know.
All right, well, let's talk more about the culture.
1920s? So really quick, most people wonder about during Prohibition how products, if they were still made, if they were still sold or whatnot. Actually, in the 1920s during Prohibition, Fernet Branca was still sold. It was still legal. They got around the laws by selling it as a medicinal product. It was seen as a medicinal product because of their,
right,
you know, qualities of
their claim of fame
of
curing cholera.
Exactly.
I also found that it helped with malaria too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And that it went on to be used as a laxative and hangover cure.
It's definitely a hangover cure.
No doubt, because I was feeling it earlier, and then I drank a couple
Fernet
and Coke, and I'm on top of the world, man.
Well, and it's funny enough, too. It was sold in...
cured my cholera, too. I don't
Yeah, your cholera is good now. It was actually sold in pharmacies up until the 1940s as a cure for night sweats, cramps, and other ailments, and what? Nervousness, so too.
What is a night sweat?
I guess you just wake up and you're really sweaty. You know, if you forget to turn the AC on at night or something, and you wake up and it's...
No. Well, it's like, man, I get like night terrors, you know, like bad dreams, you know, that's a whatever. But the night sweats, what is that a real thing?
It's like the meat sweats.
Yeah, but that's a real thing. I've had the meat sweats. Usually when after leaving a Brazilian steakhouse. And oh, my God. By the way, I love Brazilian steakhouses. Just want you to know. This is the best way. If you haven't been to a Brazilian steakhouse, you need to go, because you are literally the sun in your own universe while worlds of meat orbit around you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You get the guys with the meat on the stick.
They just walk up. Do you want any? Yes.
Want some of this? And they carve it right off.
Yeah, saw it right off.
And then you being the sun, you're just absorbing it. And then you end up with night sweats because you ate all the meat. Oh, it's night sweats because you go to bed with the meat sweats, transitions.
Well, if you have Fernet Branca, then
actually,
that
as
takes
a digestive,
it
takes care of it because it gets into the. Oh shit! No, it is. It is.
It's guys, full circle, Mike. It's full circle.
We figured it out. It is indeed a cure for that.
Well, going back to Fernet Branca and their culture, one of the cool things that they've started is they do what's called a challenge coin. Have you seen these before?
I've seen them lots before.
Oh, you've seen them lots before. Okay.
Because we happen to know somebody.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, let me tell people what the challenge coin actually is first, then we'll tell about who.
Well, the challenge coin, if you're going to talk challenge coins, you got to talk military.
Okay, go for it.
Because it's kind of where that's the original story.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But like in especially different units, and a lot of times leaders, if you were to do something in combat, you would get a coin. And I've got a few of them from my time in the Marine Corps. If you do, it's kind of like a hey, good job, man. Here's the general's coin.
Right.
It meant something. And then when you're out with your buddies, you know, other military types drinking, you do a challenge coin challenge, where you pull the challenge coin out and you put it on the bar. And everyone's got to pull their challenge coin out and put it on the bar.
Yeah.
And the one with, like, the lowest ranking coin buys the drink. Or the guy without a coin buys the drink. But if, you know, I had a coin from, who's the guy who got in trouble? The general in Iraq, he got in trouble.
Is that a good coin or a bad coin now?
Well, it's still a high-ranking coin. He just got in trouble. Petraeus. Remember?
Yeah.
He got in trouble for sleeping around or something? Whatever. Google Petraeus. I got Petraeus's coin when I was in Basra, Iraq, with the Marines. And getting all kinds of freebies.
Yeah, so Fernet has sort of a similar thing.
Similar, yeah, but so Fernet.
Yeah, it's essentially the exact same thing Mike was saying with military. It's like a lot of these bartenders will have these coins from Fernet where on one side it's their logo, on the other side it's they put different designs every year for the different regional market that you're in. And so what happens is if there's two or more bartenders out drinking, if one person pulls out a coin, the rest of them do. And if you don't have your coin, then you pay for the round. So it's very similar to what you were saying.
Well, yeah, I mean, it started in the military.
Right. Like
way, way, way back when, man. I mean, this has been around for a long time. Fernet probably just started it. When do you think Fernet started it?
I think they started.
5 years ago?
It was
6 years
in
ago?
Like 2010, I believe.
10 years ago?
Yeah, so probably about 10 years ago.
Because I think it would coincide probably with the craft bar revival.
Oh yeah, no,
that's
exactly.
Kind of happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Resurgence of the craft bartending.
Right.
So yeah, 10 years.
So that's probably why. And that's actually a really really cool story for us personally at the Blind Barber is our former bartender Nicole Scaraglino. Shout out to Nicole. Nicole. But she actually won a design contest for one of the Fernet coins for North Carolina. In I can't remember the year. It was a couple years ago, probably 2 years ago.
I remember.
So, two or three years ago.
I came down to see you guys.
Yeah,
when she did her Fernet coin release party.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We did this. We did a big party.
It was actually really cool.
2018. Yeah, so we did a big like unveiling party for it, and some bartenders got some of the coins.
I didn't get one.
It was, you didn't get one?
No.
Well, you have to know somebody, Mike.
I thought I did.
Well, you thought wrong, I guess.
I thought I knew you, Joey. And that was actually when I first met Nicole. Funny story.
Yeah.
Because I went in there and she was making these different drinks. And I think one of them, it was a Fernet-based drink.
Of course.
And she was drunk. Because she was the winner, whatever. You guys were celebrating her. And I said, hey, Nicole, fucking awesome job winning the coin. And she's like, oh, thanks. And I'm like, what drinks did you make? And she said, this one and this one. And I can't remember exactly how it went, but she's like, that one has chocolate in it. Remember there was like chocolate?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep.
And I was like, oh, fuck yeah, I want the one with chocolate. And she's like, hell yeah, you do. Bitches love chocolate. And I was like, oh, damn, Nicole.
It sounds like Nicole. Well, so I just my God, I'm gonna remember. I'm gonna ask her about that. I could see her doing that too.
Remember.
Well, it's kind of funny too with this design that she did. So on the backside of this coin, the design that she made, it says North Carolina, and on the bottom of it, it's the North Carolina motto, which essentially means "Esse quam videri," which means "Seize the day." And it's got a picture of a dogwood flower, so it's pretty cool. But
which is the state flower of North Carolina?
It is, yeah.
For those outside of North Carolina, or even those in North Carolina,
don't know in North Carolina either. So yeah.
It's a pretty flower.
But it's funny because for this competition, she designed this coin, turned it in to one of the judges. This particular judge who was in charge of everything ended up leaving the job because they moved to a different job. They didn't get fired or something, but they moved to a different job, different position, and they brought a new person in. And so they're like, okay, we need to do this competition. And she's like, well, I already turned my picture in. They said, well, we don't have it, so we need it today. And so she actually drew this on a bar napkin and won the competition with this drawing on a bar napkin.
I didn't know that.
While people did their photoshopping and everything. Oh, wow. Yeah, so she was like, I'm for sure going to lose now. I have a pen and a bar napkin.
Oh, wow.
And so we still have that bar napkin at the bar sitting in sitting in a case. Like, it's pretty cool.
My God.
I mean, it's kind of dumb, but it's pretty cool. I think it's awesome, though.
You know? That's amazing. And it's like totally in line with the crazy marketing storytelling that Fernet does for itself. You know what I mean?
Like, maybe like, yeah, she wrote it on a bar napkin. She
totally wrote it on a bar napkin. It's totally in line with it.
Yeah,
if that's true,
pretty cool.
Then everything Fernet said is also true.
Well, I at least have the evidence of that. I have the proof. I have the proof of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
Anyway, yeah, that was pretty cool,
damn,
though.
Shouts out.
So, awesome, Nicole.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really have. There's really not much else out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of all that I have with Fernet. I mean,
it's you know, we kind of joked, you know, about some of the storytelling and, or not storytelling, but it's marketing.
Yeah.
But all in all, it's a fantastic product.
I
love it,
and,
man.
And actually,
I'm like totally in.
It actually, I mean, we are joking with it, but they actually are a really good company too, because they've kind of vouched to try to have zero pollution and emissions in the next, you know, several years, and they're being certified by the Italian government for their sustainability measurements. And it's kind of crazy too, because Fernet Branca holds their suppliers to the same standards that they hold themselves to.
Oh, nice.
So yeah. So the people that they get these herbs from, they have told them, you need these standards as well. And if you don't, we will find them from somebody else.
That's all I got. Do you have anything else?
I think so. I think I'm pretty wrapped up on Fernet with that.
Yeah. So it is very bitter, very herbally. So, I mean, I probably wouldn't if you want to go out and buy a bottle, certainly do that. But this is one of those things where you almost want to go into a bar.
Yeah,
like
just go into a bar.
A really nice craft bar that makes great cocktails, and just ask them to make you something nice with Fernet, and then try it that way. And if you like, because it is bitter. So it is bitter. And I guess what I meant to say earlier, I'll just say it now, because if you're a beer person, you know, you probably started drinking beers that were like easy, like lager type beers. And at some point you probably, you know, evolved into like an IPA drinker, and then a double and a triple IPA, and then now you're probably drinking sours or whatever. So it's an acquired thing. Well, I think the same thing is true with some of these bitter Amaros.
Yeah, Fernet's definitely an acquired taste.
It is, but once you kind of get it, and you'll learn to, you just become to appreciate it.
Yeah.
And so I would say, you know, try a bar like Blind Barber or Revival, you know, a really nice craft cocktail bar, and ask them to make you something with it.
Yeah, get a cocktail made with it, and then get like a little pour of it on the side, so you can see how it tastes.
You can try it, and the bartender's cool. They won't. They may not even charge you for it because
they may even ask where you work.
Because it's the bartender's handshake. So if you're like, yeah, make me something for Nat, and I'll take a pour on the side, and you just got a new friend.
There you go.
That's it.
And they'll probably love you for it.
I would.
I mean, I love when people come in and just say, do something weird with Fernet.
Yeah. Well, why not? Be adventurous.
Yeah.
Drink outside the box. God, that should have been our motto. God, that should be our logo. Drink outside the box.
Should be. Trademark.
What was the other one? We had another one earlier, remember? I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember what that one was.
I have to go back and listen to episode 2. Anyway, thanks for joining us, guys, on our deep dive into Fernet.
Our tasting of Fernet.
And our tasting of Fernet. I hope you enjoyed our tasting. But, you know, again, this would be the part if we had any listener mail. Man, it would be so nice if someone would write in, you know?
Hey, one of these days, there's going to be some listener mail. It's going to be awesome. Wait.
It's going to be glorious. But if you want to write in and tell us about your love of Fernet, or if you have another crazy story about Fernet, we'd love to hear it. Email us at barcuriouspodcast@gmail.com. Check us out on Instagram and Facebook. Both are Bar Curious Podcast.
Mike can't speak anymore. He's had enough for Nets.
Bar Curious Podcast. I know who I am.
Bar Curious Podcast. Just look that up. That we're all over the place.
Google it. Oh, we're worldwide now.
This is global.
Yeah, check us out. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.